Lyndall King had this friend. He was a collector, an aficionado. One day, he said to her,
"Well, you know Charles Biederman." I said, "Yes, I know about Charles Biederman. He's an important American artist." And he said, "You know he lives down in Red Wing or near Red Wing." I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, he's about to give all his collection to the Detroit Art Institute, but he'd really like it to stay in Minnesota. So why don't you go down and see him?"
This was the late 1980s, and the conversation was significant for two reasons. Lyndall King was the director and chief curator of the University of Minnesota's art collection, and that art collection was, in the very near future, going to move out of its crawl space in Northrop Auditorium and into a brand new building of its own. Charles Biederman was one of the great abstract artists of the 20th century, and to have the chance to become the repository of not just one piece, but his entire estate, well, of course you know what Lyndall King was going to say.
And I said, "No, I'm not going to go and see Charles because he's got too bad a reputation. And a lot of people had bought his artwork and they used to go down and visit him regularly. And then they stopped going because he was just too difficult to get along with." So those are the kinds of things I'd heard about him. "He's too cantankerous and mean, and I don't want to have anything to do with him."
Still, this was Charles Biederman. He'd done the Chicago, Paris, and New York art scenes. In 1937, he gave up painting to concentrate on relief panels, all abstract, but based in nature, revealing not the image of nature, but the structure. He'd influenced a school of Canadian artists. He'd exhibited in major museums. He'd written 5 books on art theory, not to mention essays and collections of letters. Biederman was the kind of artist Lyndall King wanted at her museum.
Some summer day, we drove down to Red Wing and found him. He lived at the end of a dead-end road outside of Red Wing, not an easy place to find. And the first thing he asked me when I walked up and introduced myself was if I had read all his books. And I said no, and he said, "Well, then go away and come back when you've read them all."
Okay. So she never did get around to reading all those books, because Lyndall King was more interested in the art and the artist. So she persisted and started making regular visits to the artist, who at that time was in his 80s.
Well, when he was young, he looked like Paul Newman. But when I knew him, he had gray hair, a stubbly beard, white beard. He lived by himself in this house. He had pants that always had holes around the knees. And I couldn't figure this out because all of his pants had holes, a lot of holes around the knees, about the size of a nickel. And then I realized it came from his chain-smoking cigars, so that when he would smoke his cigar and then he would fall asleep, his cigar, his hand would drift down and would burn a hole in his pants and it would wake him up. Sometimes we would take him food. We always had to wash the dishes first before we served food on them because we weren't quite sure when they'd been washed. So sometimes we would eat at his house, and sometimes we would take him into Red Wing for dinner. He would show us his art, which included paintings, it included his constructions, it included drawings, it included prints. He had a lot of it stored in a barn, and he had a lot of it stored in his studio, and there was a lot in his house. And I do have to say that the paintings and the constructions in his house that weren't covered with plastic did have a thick layer of yellow gummy tar on them because he chain-smoked cigars, and that got deposited on all his works of art.
The constructions were mostly painted aluminum panels with smaller aluminum shapes projecting from the surfaces. There was no blending of colors, and the reds, yellows, and blues were as red, yellow, and blue as you could get. But what would happen to these arresting compositions after Biederman's death? The artist had burned bridges in the Twin Cities museum community. But as of 1993, Lyndall King was heading up the university's new Frank Gehry-designed Wiseman Art Museum.
One summer, July, I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was about 3 or 4 years before he died. He died in 2004. He called me up one day and he said, "Well, I've decided I want you to come and get my work now instead of waiting till I die. So I was thrilled. He said, okay, come tomorrow. I said, well, Charles, I'm not sure we can come tomorrow. But about a month later, we had assembled a crew, and we went out. We had five people, and it took us about 2 months, and we had to inventory and move more than 3,000 pieces.
The Weissman also hired a conservator to remove the gummy tar off the artworks, which to this day have a home at the museum. Other Biedermann pieces have found their way to the Tate, MoMA, and other prestigious collections. Biedermann actually did get to see a retrospective of his art at the Weissman in 1999.
He hated our building, but he loved his exhibition. He came up close to one of his wooden constructions, and he swore he saw a little yellow speck on it, and he said, that's happened since it came here. But anyway, you know, that was Charles, and you just sort of rolled with it and went on your way.
This is Brittany for KFAI.